This is Adam of the Dollar Bin. I am here. We are in Greenville, continuing on our adventure in Greenville, babysitting this weekend.
I wish I was being babysat by Elizabeth Shue this weekend.
Brian and I did quite a bit, and this portion of which you're currently listening to.
And Ted
ventured with us for a while. This portion here is we talk to so many great people, and we always like to talk about what people are reading. And we got so much stuff that we decided to go ahead and break this off and just do reviews of the week. Everything that you're about to hear is going to be everybody's reviews of what they've been reading this week.
Comics, comics, comics.
Comics, comics, comics.
Now, you just got back from vacation. Have you read last week's and this week's comics, or you still have stuff in the I have a need to read this pile?
No, I've pretty much read everything. The only thing I don't think I've read yet is I did not read the Infinite Horizon, number 3, I believe, 3 or 4, whatever the one that came out. It was that book that we've been waiting on for about a year and a half, and it's one of the ones I complained about when I did my whole complaint of books that just stopped.
Yeah, books that just stopped for no reason.
And I haven't read that one yet. That's the only one I haven't read. And in all honesty, it's because it's been so long since it came out that I'm afraid I'm going to have to go back and flip through the other ones. Just in case.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
There's certainly been some comics like that where I've, you know, I remember enough that I won't know that I want to buy it, but I don't remember enough. By the next time, like, we get an issue of Kick-Ass, probably we'll have to go back and read some of that.
But
a lot of Warren Ellis books.
Yeah, a lot.
Go back and read.
Yeah.
Read to remember where we left off at.
So speaking of Warren Ellis books, did you read Ignition City?
Yes, I did, because Twitter commanded it.
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was really pretty.
Yeah?
The story was just kind of there. I mean, it didn't really suck me in. It didn't suck, but it didn't suck me in either.
Are you going to buy the next one?
I'll probably give it a shot. Like I said, I'm interested enough to know what's going on. A redhead is the title character, so subliminal message right there. And like I said, it was really pretty. I thought the art was really good.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It was a storyline that didn't suck. It was confusing because I don't understand the reality.
You jump right in and you don't know what's going on.
The reality of which they're in. But yes, I will be buying the next issue, but I make no guarantees to ride this one out.
Speaking of Warren Ellis, though, on a different note, at one of the big comic book conventions recently passed, Cartoon Network showed some footage for a TV series called, an anime series called G.I. Joe Resolute that Warren Ellis is responsible for the scripts for. I had originally thought that this was going to be Adult Swim television animation. Apparently, Adult Swim has it in their contract that they have to show a certain number of Family Guy and King of the Hill reruns, and they just can't fit it in those 8 hours.
Horrible that they show live those action reruns. TV shows.
Yeah, God, don't even get me started on the live action Cartoon Network crap.
Yeah.
So G.I. Joe Resolute is only going to be webisodes, and it's small, like I guess 5 minute or so chunks. The first three I know are, if you go to our forum, I created a post that links to Warren Ellis' blog where he's going to update as stuff gets launched. And there's a link to the Adult Swim page that you can see him on. It wasn't working for me.
Yeah.
But Warren Ellis also posted YouTube links where people had put them up there. The first three I've seen so far, it's not blow you away stuff. But there's also Snake Eyes killing people with a sword. You know, if I need to say more than Warren Ellis wrote Snake Eyes killing multiple people with swords, press the stop button right now. I don't think we can be friends.
It's funny, one of the Warren Ellis, a little bit more on the Warren Ellis front. I finished reading the latest issue of Dr. Sleepless. And in the back of his books, he always does supplemental stuff. And there's like his little essay. He likes to write essays at the back of that. And his essay in that's basically like, no time to write an essay. Got lots of work to do. Stuff that's paying me money. And that's like, and he goes in, he writes a little bit more, but that's basically the gist of it. It's like, I've got all these paying jobs. I don't have right to do the time to do this free stuff.
Yeah, time to do some free stuff.
Oh, unless it's my webcomic or Twittering. But
although he can be, He's one of those people that floods with Twitter.
Yeah.
And then will be really sporadic. It was like, oh, he must be working.
Yeah.
He must have a deadline. And then 2 days later, it's like 87 posts an hour.
On the forum where we do our whole, like we have this forum thread of like Terry or somebody started it, what I read this week,
right.
Which is an awesome thread. I love that thread.
I do too.
And it's just, we just do quick flybys of everything we picked up. And you do a little sentence or two about what you did read. And if you didn't read it yet, you just say you didn't read it yet. But you still list everything you got, which is awesome. I love that. You would put in there cleaners number 3.
Yeah.
You had said something about it's not going where you thought it was going to go and you wish it had.
Right.
I hadn't read it yet by that point because they got delayed. They were all damaged when Richard received them.
Yeah.
So I didn't get mine till this week. And so I was like skeptical because I was like, you know, I knew where you thought it was going. And it wasn't where I thought it was going.
Oh, okay.
But I was like, you know, Brian tends to hate things. It's whatever.
Brian's bitter and angry.
He's bitter
child.
And angry. Okay, this didn't go where I expected it to go. And I don't even know if I want to buy number 4.
Yeah. We agree on that. I mean, I know that when we first discussed it, I liked it, but I was down on it because I thought it was going to be paint by the numbers.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of those movies that's supposed to be a suspense.
Yeah.
And 30 minutes in, you're like, man, the bitch is going to kill him with a 9-iron in 15 more minutes.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. He looked at his watch when he said that, by the way.
I like the act out thing, even though you can't see me.
Yeah.
But I thought it was going to be like that. I thought it was a Dexter CSI kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be very paint by the numbers that way. It's not.
No, it took a turn for the supernatural.
And a bad one.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not just like, all right, this is stupid and who cares about this kind of thing. I also think it was a worse written, like dialogue and everything. I thought that was the worst of the comic so far,
too. Why were the word balloons so big? Did you notice the lettering and the word balloons were huge? I didn't get a lot out of that. And I don't think I'm picking up number 4.
I mean, I'm bad about,
and I'm on 3 of 4.
Yeah, I'm bad about completing things to have like the closure or whatever.
Yeah,
but you know, another book I'm sure we'll talk about that just ended as well is very different. Like I could see reading it again,
mm-hmm.
and it was a 4 of 4. I could see reading it again. I could see giving it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it continuing as another miniseries or whatever, and that I would want to continue to follow it. This book, I'm never going to read this again. You know, this,
yeah.
Unless the, you know, issue 3 was very different from 1 and 2 and in a bad way.
Yeah.
Unless issue 4 swings back around to being even better than the first two,
yeah.
There's no way for this to end where I'm going to be like, I'm going to read this again. Or I mean, it's going in our dollar bin box.
I was about to say, I bet if you come by our booth at Heroes Con,
you want to read this, you can get 1, 2, and 3 from us.
And I'm sure there'll be multiple copies of 1, 2, and 3 in our dollar bin box at least.
Yeah, that book was really disappointing.
Yeah, I really liked issue 1 a lot. I thought issue 2 was good, and then issue 3 just dropped me.
I mean, Fonzie was wearing a leather jacket going over a vampire shark.
I did not see the vampire twist, and I think that was ridiculous. It could have been a really good book.
Yeah, and the thing with me is, you know, as my comic book boundaries continue to stretch, and expand, mm-hmm. I was really hoping it was going to be a CSI regular guide serial killer, medical, you know, something along those lines, and then you know the left turn that it took was so not needed,
because
everything else up to that point was completely normal in that book mm-hmm. for me.
Yep,
and with a 4-issue mini, I mean, if that was like going to be a continuing series, and that's the turn you make because that's where you wanted it to be. But in a 4-issue miniseries, it seems like you have half of a miniseries one way and half of a miniseries the other way.
I'm sure it's one of those storylines that's going to be like Dark Tower was 1 through 4, and then another 1 through 4, and then another 1 through 4. I don't think it's going to be. I think it will be done after this because I think I don't see it selling well. And especially since you and I are both dropping it, and it already wasn't having good numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're not the only ones.
I wouldn't think so, because, I mean, I think it went from being an interesting book with potential to being not good.
Mm-hmm.
But the book that I was alluding to,
yes.
which I'm sure you figured out, is Boom Studios ended the Hex miniseries.
I have not read those yet,
really.
Actually. Here's the problem, okay? And Hex is also the creator of Hex will be at Heroes Con.
Yes. I said she. I don't know if it is.
I think it is. Okay. I think it is. Don't quote me on that. But the thing with Hexed is I do think that Hexed is going to be another one of those 1-4 followed right. by another 1-4 followed by. I do think that's going to happen. However, Richard sold out of Hexed, number 3, and ordered them. And Diamond, as far as it goes with ordering Boom Studios books, Diamond sucks balls at getting you reorders of Boom Studio books. Richard's had to order a lot of Boom books straight from Boom. I have not been able to read Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. Sold out of Hex number 3.
Oh, you should have told me I would have brought them.
Oh, well, I forgot about it. But the thing is, so I have not read Hex number 3. And Hex number 4 came out 2 weeks ago or something. And John at Richards was like, hey, I made sure to set aside a Hex number 4 for you. And I was like, that's great. Throw it in my folder. I'll buy it when you give me number 3. So I haven't read Hexed yet, man. Was it good?
I won't spoil anything or how they solve anything, but I think we both really liked the first two issues.
Yes.
Like the girl character and the way it was going.
Looking forward to the creator, whatever her name is.
I think 3 and 4 followed right along with that.
Yes.
I think it ended not without surprises or bumps in the road, but I think it ended the way you assumed that character would write herself and get out of the situations.
Okay.
It certainly leaves it open to continuing in further miniseries or having a full series and whatnot. But it was just a fun four issue series. It was different than a lot of stuff on the stands, both in art style and what was going on. And I thought it was just a fun little series. I'm glad I gave it a shot.
Yeah. Excellent.
And I really just gave it a shot because it was Boom. But each issue made me, you know, to relay it to the Cleaners book, which is Dark Horse, right?
Yes.
Each issue made me wary of wanting to get the next one. And with Hex, I'm not saying that it was so great that, oh man, when is this coming out? I got to have it.
Yeah.
But each issue was good enough that when I saw it on the stands the next time, I was like, oh cool, that's the next issue of that. I liked it. I'll get the next one.
Yeah.
And if Boom continues to do something with that character with those creators, I'm sure I'll give it another shot too.
Yeah, I do look forward to finishing that one. I did enjoy it. A quick shout out.
Another redheaded feature character.
Yeah.
Redheaded female feature character.
Yeah.
Ender's, as Ted Tarver, Man About Town, would say, it's the dream.
It's the dream. Ender's Shadow continues to be awesome. I don't care if Orson Scott Card's an asshole. I never met him. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care
that book is good. And I really want to read the novels. I haven't read a novel in over a year, and it pisses me off. I do. I'm really enjoying that storyline. And and being able to read Ender's Game and Ender's Shadow, like kind of running parallel, Ender's Shadow is just a step behind Ender's Game.
Yeah.
And like kind of seeing how in Ender's Game, the Ender is the character. And in Ender's Shadow, it's the main character's Bean. And it's like, Bean is like obsessed kind of with, because the battle school that they're attending is kind of obsessed with Ender being like this like protege.
Yeah.
And Bean is this super smart little kid who some people think could outdo Ender. And Bean is aware of Ender, but Ender doesn't even know that Bean exists.
The other one exists, yeah.
And so it's kind of neat. It's kind of cool because you're always a step behind. You're like, you see it through Ender's eyes, and then you kind of see it through Bean like from the background. And it's really, really cool.
That probably people are going to take a perspective of, like, which perspective they like, depending on which side of the coin they've been on. Like, if they've been the one that wouldn't even be a glimmer in somebody's
because they're both underdogs. The administration knows that Ender's got all this potential and all this stuff. But the other cadets, he's an underdog.
Okay.
But it's like, when you read Ender's Game, Ender, he's, like, super strategic. And he's like really good at getting around things, but the older kids and a lot of the cadets that have been there longer treat him like shit, like completely and utterly. And so like you kind of feel bad for Ender, even though he's so strategic and he's able to get these people together because of the situation he's in. But when you read Ender's Shadow with Bean, you don't see any of that. As far as you know, Ender's top shit, man.
Yeah.
Like from that book, you don't hear any of that stuff. It's just he's the man, and Bean has the potential to be better. But also you learn more about Bean and his background, because Ender is from a family, because basically when people have kids or whatever, they hope to have their kids sent to these battle schools.
Right.
And what happens is, you know, the first kid usually goes, if not, then the second kid. Rarely ever do people even have a third kid, and they never amount to anything, really. And Ender's a third child. So he's kind of already down the bottom of the totem pole. His older siblings didn't make it to never got in, but kind of Ender did. And then with Bean, his backstory is he was actually an orphan living on the streets, and he gets kind of cared for by this nun who kind of secretly she is a recruit for this battle school, and she watches and monitors and finds kids, brings them in, teaches them in class, and then observes them and then recommends them to go to this battle school. It's just really, really neat. I mean, it's cool. Very, very cool book. Very cool book. All right, well, that's enough from me for a little bit. Let's go ahead and check in with the guys over at Richards and see what they read this past week. And then I'll take up some more of the airtime as soon as we're done with them.
Richard, what's something crazy fantastic that you read this week?
Actually, the part of the DC books right now, the Superman titles, they're doing it a couple different ways now, but the Superman now has gone to where it's turned into a world without Superman. He's moved into this other miniseries, World of Krypton or whichever, but we won't go into that. But the actual Superman title now has Mon-El in it, which
from Legion of Superheroes,
right, which he brought out of the Phantom Zone just before he went off to let him take over as him. And he's taken over the identity as Jonathan Kent, since mm-hmm. his father passed away. Mm-hmm. But it's actually been a pretty interesting story now, because obviously for Earth is told all the Kryptonians, with the exception of Superman, you had to leave and never come back. Well, now Mon-El is taking over the position of being the protector right now.
And he's not Kryptonian.
So, but okay. Earth doesn't know that. Earth right now is going to have to deal with the fact that who is Mon-El? He mm-hmm. looks like a Kryptonian. He acts like a Kryptonian.
He's got a weak costume.
He's got the same kind of powers type deal. So is he or is he not a Kryptonian? And can he or can he not be trusted? He doesn't have the laser eyes. But he's been introduced to several of the, you know, Superman took him around and introduced him to a few folks, some of the other heroes, to let him know who he was. And it's going to be some conflict type stuff, but letting him to come of his own, because he's actually, you know, he's been in the Phantom Zone for, you know, eons. So this is really his big first trek outside into the real world.
So the Superman title's keeping your interest?
Yeah.
Without Superman in it?
It's still doing very well. You know, even the Action Comics, which
kind of
is
like Captain America with Bucky as Captain America.
But he's still Captain
America. So far. You know, Action Comics has got Flameberg and Nightwing. It's interesting. It's not as interesting to me at this point as the Superman title is, but it's still doing well.
So you're enjoying the Superman title more than Action?
Superman right now more than Action. I've been always a bigger fan of the Legion of Superheroes, and mm-hmm. with Mon-El being there, that's fine with that, and we'll see how that goes, because I expect, obviously, at some point in time, Superman will come back, the Kryptonian thing will be resolved, mm-hmm. and Mon-El will probably go on, you know, into the 30th century or whatever and rejoin the Legion of Superheroes.
What'd you think of the, did you read Action this past week?
Yes.
What'd you think of the reveal?
Like I said, I haven't been enjoying the Flameberg Nightwings episode as much. Mm-hmm. It's been an interesting story, and it's still, to me, that book is going to take a little bit more to hook me into, perhaps, draw me on, you know, than the other one has, but mm-hmm. we'll see. Even the world with Krypton title right now, with Superman, you know, being under Zod and trying to figure out what's going on there, mm-hmm. it's still actually been a pretty good title.
There's a good chance in the near future I'm going to cut back to only Supergirl again.
Sadly, you've been continuing to cut back here, so that's not surprising.
Something I think is...
Something else Sean is giving you.
That's cool. Ho, Ted.
That's comics.
That comics. That is just too easy.
That's a problem. Whichever.
Something I think
Sean
is...
Sean, quit giving him comics.
Something I always thought is lame about Superman's kind of goings-on is like him giving Jimmy Olsen... a watch, so he could always get in touch with him, because that little freckled redhead gets in so much trouble that Superman needs to be on call to protect him. He did the same thing to Mon-El, so that Jimmy, when he gets in trouble, can call Superhero with more important things to do to help him out.
And that's true. It's just something to do with keeping the same continuity, keeping the same flavor, making it look like Superman's there. For the same folks that have always been supporting
Lucius
Cass
Fox
before.
Has his own bat signal yeah. for
Mon-El
Batman.
Mon-El didn't bring in his own dog, so give us a break. He didn't have his own dog.
That'll be next issue.
No, Crypto's got his own plans.
Excellent.
He's got his own cartoon.
No, that'd be basic for mine.
That's you? Okay.
You own a comic book shop, and you have one comic you want to talk about.
We want to talk about all the different reviews. You did like six different people here, man. Give me
Wait,
a break.
Think about, did you read The Flash Rebirth?
Flash Rebirth was all right, but Flash Rebirth is still going to... It's another one of these books that I enjoyed it, but it's going to take probably to issue three to see how things are going with it.
Do you as a retailer hold out hope that that's going to breathe life into that and possibly other DC titles like Green Lantern has?
You know, Green Lantern Rebirth, I think, was a different deal because the character, Green Lantern himself, was a little bit, to me, a stronger character than Flash. I don't know that they're going to get the same results out of Flash Rebirth as we did Green Lantern Rebirth. And keep in mind that not only did the Green Lantern Rebirth help that storyline, what really helped Green Lantern was that Sinestro War and now leading into this Blackest Night storyline. That's really been the jump. Flash Rebirth kind of just started the series, but when Sinestro got involved in that Sinestro War, that just kick-started it way up into the... I really picked up subscribers on that book 90 to nothing after that book.
It seems to me, though, that they kind of have some of the similar game plan is that they're... There's going to be a Flash corpse?
And we'll see.
Well, there's 87 Flashes now, and they're all in normal continuity.
We'll see
so.
If Professor Zoom shows up here as Sinestro and starts doing that. I don't know.
I don't think
this
it'll
point
be
time,
Professor
I don't
Zoom.
Hold,
I think it'll be Zoom.
Yeah, I don't. At this Zoom point in time, awesome. I don't believe it'll do as well, but we'll see. I wouldn't have thought years back that Green Lantern Rebirth was going to do exactly what it's done today either. So.
I didn't either. I would not have predicted this.
John, would you like to contribute?
Let John do the bat. Batman.
I read I hope I'm not spoiling anything for anybody, but I read like I think someone posted on the Dollar Bin forum that
I like to think
they
of it kinda, as your forum as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really contribute that much. I think, but someone said like someone posted like a link to a story I clicked on because I'm not reading it. They said they came out with who the ultimate Batman is supposed to be. So is that like widely known now or?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, by the end of issue two.
Yeah.
Not to ruin it for anybody.
You won't be.
Because I'm the only person reading it, I think. No. Pretty much at the end, you know that that volume three or issue three, however you want to call it.
Sadly, I picked up the first two issues.
Is going to be the battle between Jason Todd and Dick Grayson for the Batman Cowl.
Why are they fighting over it? Who cares?
Why can't it be two Batman?
Why do they have to be Batman? Why can't they be who they are?
Because, well, the general consensus that DC likes to have is that Gotham City, when it is running as good as it possibly can, it's because of what Batman represents and what he can do. So not having a Batman takes away the fear out of it.
Why can't they both be Batman?
So that was my question.
Well,
because there's apparently there's like an Earth 9 Superman that's coming back in Green Lantern. It's like 15 Superman. Why can't we have another Batman?
I think really what
Superman
they're doing
Prime?
More than...
The difference between the two of them is methodology.
Right.
Jason Todd that carries guns and kills people.
And I think Jason Todd awesome. Is going to be built to be Nightwing's Joker or Two-Face, or I think it's going to be the start of his nemesis.
The thing is, it's not going to last that long. We already know they're bringing Bruce Wayne back.
So will I just give him one villain and let him end that villain and then...
So Jason Todd's going to be a villain?
I would think.
I thought he went... Because I literally hadn't read any...
He's
Batman stuff since
since
like,
he's come
Hush.
Back, he's tight, he's been tightroping back and forth.
But
it's
still
to be,
better,
quote unquote, important to the.
It's still better than RIP though.
And that was Morrison.
Again, what is that? You're comparing crap to crap.
But I see the other part too is though is I don't mind having like the one shots and like the other miniseries. I don't mind reading those. Whereas. Okay, I'll say this. It's better than Final Crisis. It's better than... And I know you don't care because you don't like DC.
Not true.
That's not true.
I'm the one that doesn't like DC.
DC...
The only thing I really...
DC books right now. The only DC books right now that I think you are getting your money's worth every issue is Green Lantern Corps, and Jonah Hex. And Tiny Titans,
all
which
three
is 250.
All three
well,
of which
is 250.
Awesome.
But,
and the Shazam,
it has,
the Shazam book... The Shazam book, which is also 250,
right?
But it hardly ever comes out. But when it does, it's awesome.
Awesome.
I love that. That's not true. Wait a minute, it is.
Yeah, okay.
It's the easiest argument ever.
What's up? I don't think I've met.
Hey, this Ted. Is Ted. You met
Ted or not?
You met
on the
floor.
That's the Ted.
That may be.
Okay.
You, may have, not you may have heard of Ted. Would you guys like to? Would you guys like to discuss Thor's hammer in space?
Oh, that's you! Oh, you suck!
Sorry,
you suck! Oh man!
Kills me.
Oh,
That was a nice reveal. That was a good last page.
I didn't know that?
I didn't even think about that.
That was funny.
The worst part is we agree on almost everything else that he said. But that one thing is just like, curses.
I didn't even think about the fact that you guys didn't realize who you were.
I don't know if you saw it on the form. I took responsibility. Cause, like, apparently I was on an island, like, all by myself with that.
That was a good... Either way, whichever way you think about it, it was a good time. It was fun reading.
And a hilarious thing to argue about.
That's what I'll say.
Does magic work on the moon?
It was a really bad book to waste that much, like, typing.
Yeah, I know.
It's a horrible book.
That's why books like that are made.
That's why our
site is that book still, like, selling? How well does that book sell? And we're talking about, was it just Hulk?
When the question still mattered, when people cared who the Red Hulk was, it was selling pretty good. But now that two hardcovers have come out,
they haven't said it yet,
and you still don't know. People, I mean, there's only so long you can drag out.
Marvel picks such awful things to put as hardcovers.
I don't know about
that. Looks horrible.
So,
but like the first hardcover, the back of it, the big splash on the back to get you to buy it said, "Who is the Red Hulk?"
Don't find out here.
They don't tell you. Another hardcover comes out. They don't tell you.
So have you been reading those Hulks?
No.
Do you just read
all
them?
I do what everybody else does who buys that. The market for that book is 7-year-olds. I flip through it, look at the pretty splash pages, and I'm like, he's a good artist, and I put it back. That's what it's for, literally.
Who's drawing that? McGinnis?
Yeah. My new hobby is to count the splash pages in each issue of Hulk. More than half. Average. More than half. One issue had 12 splash pages.
Yeah. If you do Dark Reign Hawkeye, I'm trying to push those.
Okay. It sucked. It's a pretty terrible book. You got to be specific.
We just talked about DC stuff. You're definitely more of a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about Dark Reign so far? How's that working out for you?
I was pretty much, I thought it was going to be something I would ignore entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And I've liked them all, really. The FF one is really, really good.
It's really the second person I heard say that.
It's the first time in a long time I've seen somebody show read actually sitting down and working things out scientifically rather than just making up the...
He walks in the room and he's already solved it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shows Reed's thought process, and I'm kind of scared of how smart the writer is, because reading the comic, I'm like, that really seems like something somebody Reed's intelligent level would say rather than just somebody trying to write smarter than they are type of thing.
And who's writing that?
Hickman.
Interesting.
South Carolina native, Jonathan Hick.
Yep.
What about some of those? So like you said, the Hawkeye one was terrible.
It's funny, but it's not something you need, really. The Electra one was actually quite good.
I picked that up, and like I think my comment on the forum was, why did I buy this? And it wasn't because it was bad. It was just, why did I buy this?
When you look at it on the shelf, you're like, why would I need that? Why did they make that? And then after I got to read it, I was like, pleasant surprise.
So was the Hawkeye one actually Hawkeye, or was it Bullseye?
No, it's Bullseye and Hawkeye. Okay. The point of that book is... that he likes killing people so much, it's going to be hard for Norman to keep him off a TV camera murdering people. That's the entire point of that book.
Wow.
He saves this chick from getting mugged by a couple of guys trying to pull her into a van, and then in the middle of the sentence of her saying thank you, he jams a pen into her eye. He's like,
and doesn't he have a conversation? Doesn't he have
like,
a conversation?
I'm sorry, I've only killed like 3 people today. Is starting to shake a little bit. You know?
Does he have like a conversation with Osborn too about why he doesn't want to be Hawkeye because he wants credit for the stuff that he's doing?
Yeah, and the people he kills, he's scratching little bullseye targets into their foreheads.
Wow.
Because he wants some kind of credit for his kill count. And the issue ends with, he turns around and, oh, by the way, there's a live TV crew and helicopter that just filmed me doing all that. So now he's going to have to destroy the helicopter crew to keep himself off of TV and keep his Hawkeye job. But it's funny. It's not something you'll remember in 3 years. But
are you going to want to pick up the one that they're doing with Spider-Man 2, the Venom Spider-Man one?
Oh, you're cute, Brian.
More importantly, are you picking up the Dokken one that they're doing with him as Wolverine?
Yeah. You say Doc? I say Dokken.
I think I thought it was Dokken.
I say Dokken so Dokken. I can start singing that song from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Maybe it's Dokken. I don't know. I hate the character. So I can care less how his name is.
Now we just need Capson to be named Ronnie James Dio.
Is that the original Nightmare on Elm Street? I think I was like 5 when that came out.
I think it was like the second one, maybe. The Dokken song.
Johnny Depp was in the original.
Yeah.
I'm wary of any Spider-Man miniseries now after the Secret Invasion one was just 3 issues of Jackpot, a character who was going to die the next appearance she had. So I kind of gave up on that. I'm already giving Spider-Man 3 issues a week. You know, that's all I need.
So what are you enjoying?
Actually, the last thing that I read, I went back and read all the Fear Agent stuff. Oh, it's good stuff. It's really good.
I've been
depressing. It's really depressing.
Yeah.
There's whole issues where he's drinking himself into a stupor while killing aliens and just crying about his dead children.
Did you read the Tales of the Fear Agent?
Y'all have the second.
There's a story in there, and I won't ruin it for you, that, like you say, depressing. That guy's life. Ruined.
It's terrible.
The first we finally get his backstory?
I know.
It's
funny. It's
painful.
What happened with me? It's
Remender Rocks, except for when he's doing Punisher.
I kind of ruined it for myself because I read that backstory miniseries first.
No, because you don't have all the details.
You mean Last Goodbye?
Tales.
Yeah.
I've only read the
Last
trade
Goodbye.
So far.
It was like a 2 issue miniseries.
Last Goodbye is like the origin kind of.
Because it looked awesome, and I picked it up, and I wanted to read it.
Somebody told me to read that one first, but I ended up going back the way they wrote it.
It's better if he
starts out as a nothing character,
you don't know.
And you're like, he's drunk and he shoots aliens, that's the deal. And then you fill in, he's actually a character with all this stuff. Same thing they do with Wolverine. Nobody wanted to do anything with him when he first came out, because he's just a guy with claws, he's just the Hawkeye of the team.
Now everybody
wants
to do garbage
with
him.
He's got this huge backstory. I think it usually works better when they
now he has
like
872 books a month.
Did you read that Weapon X?
I did.
Hey, Jason, what'd you think of that?
I liked it.
So, what other positive glowing reviews can you give?
Glowing. That's a stretch.
You've been reading Spider-Man. What'd you think of the last couple issues?
You know,
more Spider-Man talk.
It's one thing to have the elephant in the room where they keep having Spider-Man issues and they keep not talking about all the shit that we don't know.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Is there any Bleepers. Kids in here?
Speaking of elephants.
But so Dan Slott tries this new thing. He does 2 issues where he's going to obscenely outright have Johnny Storm and Peter fight about why Johnny Storm doesn't know who he is. And it's funny. It's funny while you're reading it. You're like, Joe Quesada, take it. Take it. But then
it
goes nowhere. Reads like, I'll build a machine that lets us all see your face and forget it in 5 minutes. Then he takes off his mask. They're like, it's Peter. And then they forget.
They haven't gotten to the forgot part.
They saw them. I think
Reed recreated the magic that Mephisto used that he didn't know about.
Well, he hadn't done all this yet.
He's going to make a machine. Peter's like,
it's not the best.
I wish y'all could see Brian's face right now.
He just made a magic machine?
Of magic that he doesn't know about.
And you constantly defend this book.
No, I said I wanted to come. It's been good, but I wanted to come back to the original
it's
going
to take to fix One More Day is what I'm saying. This is the kind of junk we're going to have to sit through.
Yipes.
This is how they have to repair.
Not only that, suddenly Peter is arguing with Human Torch about how just forget about it. I know how it works, but you don't need to. I'm like, really?
Yeah,
you
how
know
does
how
he know?
It works
yeah,
now.
That was another whole
I thought you woke up and that. Didn't know anything about it. The whole world has just changed.
The idea was he had a feeling that he couldn't reveal it.
No, now he's telling Johnny, like, this is how
this
works.
This can happen, yeah.
If you see my face, blah, blah, blah. Even if you see my face, suddenly you'll start to forget, and it'll disappear from any pictures you take. And I'm like, really, Peter?
Did he test that theory?
What, is he a vampire now? Can people not see him in a mirror either?
Hey, what's up, vampire Spider-Man? I'm sure that's been done before. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Hey, what's up, girl?
What are you calling Sean?
Hey, can I hit you back?
I should call Sean.
She's at work today.
I'll call it heroes.
Girl, can I hit you
back? You know where I am? I know the comic book store.
Shagopotamus.
Okay, I'm going to go do a quick more things, and then we're going to go into everybody else. But since this is a whole show about reviews, it's a whole show about reviews. What do you want from me? Dark Tower.
Over here.
Dark Tower. I am that last storyline of Dark Tower, I was like, they're starting to lose me. I'm still interested in where it's going.
Is this the one that Firth is writing herself?
Well, I was going to say is that last story.
I saw an ad for something.
Yes. That last story, but a little bit of last storyline. And then this issue that came out this week was a one-shot that, as you said, Firth wrote herself. It's Robin Firth doing all the scripting and Richard Eisenhoff doing all the art. So, this does not have Peter David, and this doesn't have Jay Lee. What this issue right here, before I read it, anything, I did not want to, before I opened it, what this does for me is, A, tells me how Robin Firth's doing as a writer, because I tried to read that Lords of Avalon thing, and I just wasn't digging the story at all. But that was also another adaptation that Robin was actually, as far as I know, writing herself.
Yeah, and I think the only other thing I looked at of hers is that, was it the Satana?
Yeah, which was good.
Type thing.
Which was a short story, but it was good. So yeah, that tells me that.
On the cover.
But also, the argument that I've been making for quite a while now is Richard Eisenhoff makes the art in that book. And, you know, like you look at Jay Lee's pencils, his black and whites, and they're okay. Don't get me wrong. But I think that the thing that really gives the Dark Tower's art snap is Richard Eisenhoff. I think he really gives it life and makes it great. So this is a lot of pressure for me, the reading this book.
Because you really want to the reasons you just outlined.
Exactly. And it's awesome.
Sweet.
It's a story that I never thought I really... It's one of those things where it's like, okay, we're reading Dark Tower. It's about the sorcerer, who is the man in black, who is Martin Broadcloak, and all, basically the villains. He's the walking dude. He's Stephen King's villain.
Right.
And in Dark Tower, he's very...
He's not a clown, is he?
No, he doesn't end up... He's not Pennywise. But
thank God nobody likes that clown.
However, there is a lot of spiders, and like Pennywise is like that spider thing, so it's slightly related to a lot of the Dark Tower stuff. So he's this character who's always kind of shady in the Dark Tower. You learn in other things like The Stand, you learn a little bit more about him, but in Dark Tower he's very shady. So it's like, do I really want to know, I mean, about this character more? You know, do I? Is it going to ruin it for me?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's going to give him an awesome backstory. It's going to make me super excited about the character and some of the direction things are going. The art is fucking phenomenal. It has a little bit of a different style. You know, it's because it's not Jay Lee. There's probably moments where Jay's art is a little bit better, maybe, in the drawing. But, dude, if this was the book, if Dark Tower didn't have Peter David on it, who I love Peter David, and didn't have Jay Lee on it, it'd be just as good. Robin doesn't really write with as many of the little witty lines that Peter David can do. But as far as the story, it's solid. Story's solid, dialogue solid, art solid. At the end, as the Dark Tower books are, and as Robin Firth is, and one of the things I love about her in these books, it has behind the scenes of the sorcerer. And it's basically Robin telling the story of, oh my God, I got to write a script, you know, for this Dark Tower about this character who everyone knows and knows nothing about.
Right.
And it goes through what she had to go through. And basically, she did a lot of time talking with Stephen King and like spitballing ideas and pitching ideas to him and saying, oh, what if I did this? Or, you know, you're like, hey, you know, I read this. Is this interpreted right? And can we do this? And you actually learn a lot of things from this book because, again, there's things in this book that not only did Robin Firth make up, but also she kind of picks Stephen King's brain a little bit more about, hey, when
see how he might have taken it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's things that are introduced in this book. And again, if you read Dark Tower, it's this book, even if you're not reading the comic, if you read the book, this is a one-shot. Highly recommend at least picking this up. It's just good. It's solid. It's self-contained for the most part. I mean, it ties in a little bit. But again, if you've read the books, then you got an idea of it.
Right.
But
need to be in that universe somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to care about the character, basically. Yeah, it gives backstory to Martin Broadcloak that doesn't exist in the story, but existed in Stephen King's head while he was writing it. Basically things that Stephen King never put on paper, but were in that existed
that
in his brain.
He was using as the inspiration for
yeah.
who and what this character is without mm-hmm. wanting to say it in the actual story.
Yep.
That's cool. I mean, it's
so.
I'd imagine that one of the hardest things you could do as somebody who, I mean, maybe feel Stephen King would be easy because, like you said, in his mind, he had it figured out what the backstory is for this guy,
mm-hmm.
and he used that as a template to write for the character, even though it wasn't expressed in the book. But I would think that in fiction, one of the hardest things to do is take somebody that's established
mm-hmm.
or seen as a good, worthwhile character, at least, for what's been established,
mm-hmm.
but have no backstory, and then create a backstory out of that to add to the person instead of subtract. I'll use Wolverine as an example. Has Wolverine's origin actually helped him?
But yeah, I agree. That's why I was afraid of reading this, because he was in a character that's been established and he's supposed to be a shady character. So do I want to know more about him? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's also really cool because, like I said, some of this is how Robin interprets things. And I don't know. It's just unique. She brings up things. Of course, she's been probably deeper into this world and story than anyone else other than Stephen King.
Yeah, other than King.
And she interprets things in ways I never even thought about it, but it makes complete sense. And again, even if you're not reading the comics, totally recommend picking up The Sorcerer. I just finished reading the JSA Classified Power Girl storyline with Amanda Connor and Jeff Johns. It was fun. It was
good. Quite a while ago.
Yeah. It's old. I'm not saying that. I picked it up, you know, from the back issues and everything. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it. I mean, I hadn't heard of Amanda Connor until I met her at Baltimore Comic Con 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I went ahead and I bought the Pro from her. That was it. That's when I'd heard of her. I'm definitely enjoying. She has a very fun style, and I enjoy it.
And I really like her art. It's very,
it's funny.
It's very playful.
It's very playful. And, you know, not earlier necessarily, but when we were speaking with Rochelle, or when we will be speaking with Rochelle, however this ends up getting placed, we talk about that DC, what is it, DC Nation?
Yeah.
Thing with the Supergirl that she posted on livingbetweenwednesdays.com. You know, Amanda Connor does a lot of has a lot of boob action in her books.
Yeah, she likes to draw a chesty woman.
But she does it so smart and so well.
She's also, I mean, one of my favorite. The Pro was funny on very various different levels. One of the really funny panels that I think Amanda Connor did in that series you're talking about is it opens with Power Girl saving a guy, and after he saves her, whatever, his eyes go directly to her rack.
Yeah.
And she stops and makes him, like, you know, look otherwise. I think playful is the best description I can give for her stuff. Is it can be very good, it can be very precise, it can be very pretty, but at the same time, it's very playful. It's not like an artist that is just drawing strict TNA.
Yeah. The very first page on issue number 4 of the Power Girl storyline, it's at the very bottom. I can't remember the villain's name, he's like, the angle is from Power Girl's point of view, and she's like strapped to a table, and she's looking down toward her feet at the villain.
Yeah.
So of course, like, she's looking at her feet, so it's like just cleavage at the very bottom of the frame. I think that's really funny that she lines it up like that, and see that. That is from her perspective,
right?
Whereas that Supergirl thing, whose perspective is that from? But then later in the storyline, you know, there's a lot more where people are kind of looking down and, like, you know, kind of stealing little glimpses and things like that. And it's subtle sometimes. If you look around, like, a character's eyes will be like kind of to the side or something. And I really like that
there's
she does all that.
Like,
stuff.
I remember something else. One of the issues, Dr. Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Is examining her, and she gets off the table naked and starts changing in front of him. And one of her expressions that he draws on him when he just happens to look over, and whoa, she's naked, kind of a thing. Stuff like that. I think her stuff is great.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite things I've heard Palmiotti say about her is that when he's writing stuff for her, he uses phrases like, all right, this is kind of what I want this scene to do, but make it cooler. And it seems to me that, like, that's her little throw-ins. It's like, all right, here's the basis, And her little throw-in is like, you know, I'll have a guy getting busted checking out, you know, this woman that's walking around with a set of 38s with a big window to them on her costume, kind of a thing. And, I mean, honestly, like, for Power Girl, I can't think of a better group of people to be handling that series.
Oh, no.
Like, if somebody else was doing that series, I would have no interest in picking it up. But because it's Palmiotti and Gray writing it and Amanda Connor doing the art, when it comes out that week, that's going to be one of the first things I grab for.
What's the second thing you grab for?
Ba-dum-bum.
When I was buying this Power Girls, because like I said, I bought the back issues, and I only bought 1 through 4 of JSA Classified. I was only interested in the Power Girl storyline. Right. Because after that, it starts going into Infinite Crisis.
the next one, the one right after that was about from a villain's point of view.
Yeah.
And it was actually
good as well.
It was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
To get it from their perspective.
It had a good team on it too. I can't remember who the team is, but I'm
not either. But I think it was it might have been the Giffen and Diomedes.
Oh, I don't know if that was it.
But anyway, like I picked up that little storyline too because it was good. But I don't have any other JSA Classifieds in my collection either.
Yeah, when I was buying them, I had the choice of either there's a Power Girl trade collection
that has
all four of those in it
with Adam Hughes cover.
Yeah, it has all four of those issues in it and a bunch of other stuff. And so like I was like, okay, well, do I buy the four issues or do I just go ahead and buy this trade? And I was like flipping through a trade and I was like, you know what? I don't really care about any of this other Power Girl stuff.
It's all like old classic kind of stuff. And yeah. I don't have any interest in the character being that way.
Yeah, I was only interested really in that storyline because of the team on it, like you said.
Well, it reminds me of the way that team does. Well, not that team because that's Jeff Johns. But Jeff Johns can be a pretty playful writer as well.
He can be, yeah.
But the kind of tone that stuff reminds me and the way that Power Girl acted in the Terra miniseries is, you remember when we did the fan fiction?
Yeah.
Show way back and that I'm Power Girl, damn it, fan film.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of playful tone that their stuff reminds me of. And I thought the fan films that little group does with her as Power Girl, with there's one where like she's in hunting the want-ads for a job.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's one where she's fighting Bizarro or something like that. I think those are really funny.
It's funny. I watched that hunting a job one a few weeks ago and I wasn't nearly as entertained by it as the first time I saw it for some reason. Yeah. But in this JSA Classified, the whole beginning of the book is Power Girl trying to find out, you know, who she is, trying to, oh, I have this secret. It basically was like that classified, that going through
similar to that.
Yeah, the going finding a job thing, trying to find who she was and stuff like that. It was I enjoyed it. I recommend at least anything with Amanda Connor's name on it, pretty much. Because it's going to...
Bank receipts.
Well, because Amanda Connor...
to various lands.
She works with good people. That's basically what I'm saying. She's a fun artist, and she works with good writers. So if Amanda Connor's name is on it, it's not going to be bad. That's what I'm saying.
It's a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure. And that's about it for me. We do have Rochelle coming up, and Rochelle talks about plenty of interesting stuff, and you probably wanted to be listening to her instead of me anyway. So
here's Ted.
Here's Rochelle. Is there anything that you have read that you'd like to review real quick with us?
Yeah, actually, if I had reviewed my comics, I probably would have talked about Spider-Man, which I really liked the last couple of issues, although I do find it confusing. Are you guys reading Spider-Man?
I am. I'm the only one.
You're lucky Ted's here.
Yeah, Ted'd be more than happy to go on and on with you about Spider-Man.
I've tried to start like 5 or 6 different Spider-Man conversations a day, and no one's biting, so I'm looking forward to your take.
Well, I liked it, but it's confusing because what they basically did was in the last 2 issues are kind of the first time that they've really acknowledged the weird retconning that they did, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of confusing. I think I liked it, but then I was kind of like, I actually might have liked it better if they just kept going ignoring it.
Well, are you reading New Avengers as well?
No, I'm reading Mighty Avengers.
Wow, really?
Why? I don't know.
I think I dropped that book.
I like those guys. It's got like, you know, Hercules.
Yeah. I dropped that book when Quicksilver was turned into a book. I said I'm out. That was it for me.
Well, I just started reading Mighty Avengers like 2 issues ago. So
yeah, I got out of it. But yeah, about the Spider-Man, and yeah, it was really cool that they acknowledged it. But yeah, like I you hear all these rumors that everything's going to get reversed back in 600, and I guess that seems like everyone's pretty much saying it's definitely going to happen. But I'm curious to see how it's going to play out now, because now it seems like Reed's going to get involved in his magical machine that he is building. But it was actually pretty cool. I like the fact that they acknowledged it. But yeah, they're definitely.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, there are definitely some plot holes, though. Like, how does Spider-Man know that there some things will go wrong if people find out? And there are a couple things they got to work out and kind of establish.
Yeah, I feel like that team's been doing such a great job, though, that I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. Because they've far exceeded my expectations for this almost weekly Spider-Man comic written by a team of people. Like, you know, I never thought that would work as well as it did.
Yeah.
But it's been pretty great.
So what else you got, Rochelle?
What else I got? I really like Zorro, and I'm like the only person on Earth reading it.
So you're still reading Zorro?
Yeah, I love it.
Is Francesco Francavilla still doing the art on it?
No, he'll do the back covers, because, yeah. I don't know, Dynamite does back covers, yeah. And then he does the variant cover. But there's somebody else doing the art now, because Francavilla is doing the art on Scalped or something.
Man, I love that guy. He's the nicest guy on the
planet. I know, I really love him. Yeah. I'm glad he's going back to Heroes Con.
I was buying Zorro, and I actually have the tendency to do this with Francavilla's stuff. I was buying Zorro. I read issue one. I bought every single issue, and as soon as I found out he was done doing the art, I stopped buying it. I have still yet to read any of them except for number one, but I bought them just because he was doing the art on them.
It's a really fun series, and I really like Matt Wagner's one of my favorite writers, so that's a bonus, but
so I was buying,
I don't know.
It.
Yeah, I really like I Matt was, Wagner,
frankly,
too.
Frankly, it's the most Batman comic on the stands right now.
I was buying it, too, because I'm also a really big Matt Wagner fan. But I stopped like maybe four or so issues in just because I guess I just wasn't digging it. I thought it was slower and I wanted more action scenes, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, a lot of people were kind of like, do we really need Zorro's origin story?
Yeah, I guess I expected more two-fisted action.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. There's not a lot of action in it for what it is.
But I mean, it's always been a really pretty book. I just stopped. Is it still kind of that way?
It's a lot of talking.
Yeah, it's more. Is it still more talky than actiony?
Yeah, Zorro doesn't really even show up that often. Now that I think of it, this comic sucks. No, I do like it. It's just it's not big on the action.
Now you mentioned Batman. Are you reading any of the
Cowl
stuff?
No.
Good call.
I'll pick it up when that Grant Morrison Batman and Robin comes out. That's where I'm starting again.
Yeah, that looked pretty cool.
So are you interested in that, even though that's also still not going to be Brucey?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be okay for a while. I don't know. I don't know why they had to, like, totally explode the Batman universe like this. Like, right around the time of Dark Knight, you know, when everybody's interested in Batman. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, Let's have the biggest, this number two biggest box office movie ever and give no one a comic to read about it.
Yeah, that's basically what they did. I mean, it's crazy. Like, oh yeah, here's something. Bruce Wayne's not in it and there's no Batman. And there's like these weird other Batmans and I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
I'm going to ignore Battle for the Cowl. I'm sure that it will end with Bruce Wayne being Batman.
Do you have a bet? Well, supposedly they're going to hold off longer than that. I was going to ask you if you had a bet for how long you think it'll be before he's back.
Oh, yeah, it'll probably be a long time, even though that's really dumb. But fortunately, there'll be comics like, well, the last like run on Batman Confidential was really good. That was some good classic Batman storytelling. If we can get some more of that, I'll be happy.
Are you checking out the Brave and the Bold cartoon?
Yeah, that's where I get my Batman fix. And the comic, too, is pretty fun.
I guess that cartoon is so much better than I thought it was going to be, because I wasn't really digging like
great.
The voices and the characters they were going to use, but it's so tongue-in-cheek and ready to make fun of itself that I think it's great.
And I love seeing characters like the new Blue Beetle animated. It's really fun.
Too bad they don't have a comic you could read with that guy in it.
Yeah, I know. What's he going to be? He's going to be in Booster Gold or something in backups.
Something like that. Too bad. I mean, really.
But look at it, Booster Gold. I mean, how many people are reading Booster Gold? You know.
Well,
I mean, people are reading it, obviously more than Blue Beetle, but there's not like a big audience in that one either.
Booster Gold's probably one that I'm going to drop.
Yeah, I like Booster Gold, but yeah, I really liked Blue Beetle. So
I really like the way that Booster Gold started. I think like
the
first.
Yeah, it's definitely not as good as it was.
It's dropped and it's kind of been disappointing. So that's probably one of the ones I'm looking to let go.
Yeah, well, it's like they're missing the point of what made it awesome in the first place, which was Booster Gold hopping all over the DC universe at different time periods, and it was fun to see him kind of inserted into other comics. But they don't do that anymore.
That, and he also, like, I think one of the charms about the character and then about that situation is that he was kind of bumbling and stumbling his way to making things work, and now it's like, oh, he's this great hero now? I think they lost the two things that made it so good.
And plus they brought Blue Beetle back and then took him away again, and then, I don't know, it's just sort of been, definitely when Geoff Johns left, it's not quite as strong, but I still read it, and I keep assuming it's going to get canceled pretty soon, so.
It wouldn't surprise me. Back to comics that we all love, what are you thinking about Captain America these days and your boyfriend, Winter Soldier?
Yeah, that was good. I really liked that last storyline with Namor in it. Yeah. That was really awesome. But then I really liked this issue because
I loved it.
Captain America was not in it at all, actually. Yeah. But,
it was a strong story.
It's nice to check back in with Sharon.
Well, I've actually, you know, Brian has, I believe on the forum, complained about the fact that that there is no Captain America at all in this past issue. Somebody complained about it.
Brendan.
But, I mean, you think about it. When Steve first died, those first few issues before Bucky was established, there was like, you know, each one of those characters picked up one of those issues. And it was really good. And that's one of the things that excited everybody. They're like, wow, Captain America died. This is still Captain America. He's not in it, but I'm still having a great time reading it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this Sharon issue was like.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
And really, I mean, to a certain extent, if you've been following, I mean, that comic's on about to release issue 50 is the next one. If you've been following it that whole time, you've been wondering what's going on with her, because she went through some really bad shit.
Yeah, exactly.
They kind of played it to the side, but I guess you saw like the lasting effects it's having in this issue.
I mean, the guys that wrote Days of Our Lives were saying like, "Man, that's horrible. Why would you do that?"
Yeah.
I didn't like I don't know, what did you guys think about the end, like the hidden figure? Who was that supposed to be, do you think? You have any guesses, or? She had the part of her.
It was my thought all along with what they were doing, that they were trying to create another Steve Rogers, that they were trying to clone him or create an artificial one for their own machinations.
Oh, that's what you're talking about, what she saw when she opened that door.
Yeah.
That's where the other
Captain America.
That's where the other freaky cap came from. So it's my thought they were trying to engineer that.
So now we're going to have Bad Cap and an Anaclone.
If they succeeded.
That's going to be a little too much Cap. Three times the Cap.
And none of them are Steve.
Do you think that Steve Rogers is coming back this year? They've been running those teaser ads.
I don't think that's what they are.
I was worried.
No.
I think it's Ted.
Yeah.
Ted pointed out that...
I got to give credit. It was Daniel from Heroes that pointed it out to me, and I just posted it on the forum page. But it was like the Marvel Project, or...
Marvel Project that Brubaker and Epting are doing, that's supposed to kind of retrace the origins of some of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, like Daniel was telling me it's going to be I think the first group of stories is going to be like, you know, the government, well, the army putting together that, you know, like actually physically putting together like the torch, different things like that are going on. So it's really just kind of deconstructing all the pre-war stuff for the invaders, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I hope that's what it is.
So it sounded cool. Yeah. I'm like, you Brubaker and Epting, you know, so
you do
take a shot.
Basically, you had me at Brubaker, right? Like, like that's fine.
Good stuff.
You do kind of wonder if they're going to, like when Brendan was complaining about the issue on our message board, his thought process was, well, they're going to make a Captain America movie. Marvel is going to bring back Captain Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam's response was, it doesn't matter. That Captain America is not like Batman, that people don't automatically think Steve Rogers when they think of Captain America. So I think they could continue with Winter Soldier and have it not matter. Because plus that, the book's also fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're handing them Batman RIP in place of it or something. You're handing them, you know, one of Marvel's top five books.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely one of the best comics going.
I don't think they need to bring him back, and I hope they don't, but I'll probably be thinking, anytime they do anything like that featuring Captain America, I'll be thinking that that's what they're doing.
Plus, I'm in love with Bucky, so
yeah,
I don't want anything to happen to him.
Is Bucky one of the super hunks? I don't know.
Oh yeah,
he rated very high.
He rated very high.
Bucky's DC.
Even with the amputated arm, the missing arm, that's okay.
Throw the bionic arm.
Well, yeah, it's kind of weird.
That thing's sexy.
Plus, think all the heavy stuff he can lift with that thing.
Yeah. I thought about it. Didn't the guy that Sharon kissed, he was missing an arm too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He was like obviously 40 years old than her, which was a little weird.
Brubaker has something for the May December relationships. He likes those.
You read
Criminal.
Yeah.
All the girls in Criminal are like 10, 15 years younger than any of the guys.
You should definitely go back, Ted, and read through those Rate of Super Hunks. She breaks it down. It makes sense when she breaks it down. You'll understand.
Will I be intimidated?
Yeah,
like,
now it's on one attractive page, all the Super Hunk ratings. So.
An easy archive.
I'll check it out then. That you know that in the Archie Sundays.
Do you read Incognito, Brubaker, and Sean Phillips' new project?
No, I actually haven't, but I really want to, so I should.
Well, we won't spoil it for Adam or you since you haven't read it yet. But it is.
I don't know how I've missed that one. I don't know. It's weird.
It's really good. It's not as me personally. Criminal's one of my favorite books ever. I love that series.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as good as that. But I also think the reason why is he's trying to build a longer-term comic. So they're laying the tracks a little bit slower. So it's not that same everything is the world is on fire type pace sometimes that Criminal has.
Well, I think the first two issues kind of had that pace. And the third one was really obvious. It was a lot slower. It was a setup kind of it's like they're setting up, like, I guess the initial story arc is run, but like setting up kind of like some slight some big changes are going to come down the line. So this was definitely a slow issue, but yeah, you got to get that book.
Yeah, it's definitely worth picking up.
It's really good.
Have you read any of the? Have you been reading the Supergirl Cosmic Adventures of the Eighth Grade?
Yeah, that thing's awesome.
I love that book. That's all I'd say. I read a pretty positive review on the Muppet Show on your website there.
Oh man, what a great comic that is!
Did you know that there's going to be a Heroes Con exclusive variant? For number three, I believe, is going to have a Heroes Con exclusive variant. Yep, and he will be at Heroes Con.
Will he?
Yep.
Wow, I missed that. That's awesome.
That just got announced Thursday, I think.
I'm going to shake his hand.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting.
Boom, I picture him being a Muppet, but I guess he's probably not. That doesn't make any sense.
That'd be awesome.
That would be,
that'd be awesome if he rented like a Fozzie Bear costume and was just sitting there at the table.
That's a Langridge, right? Langridge, is that the guy? That's his name?
Yeah. Mark Waid, because dressed as Grover.
Yeah, Mark Waid is Grover.
I'd volunteer to be Snuffleupagus at the Boom Studios booth.
Assessment
I'm so into that comic. I was just so impressed with it. It just felt like the old Muppet Show, and I really love that nobody's shown from the waist down.
Yeah.
I think that's really cute.
I just love the fact that It felt like a Muppet Show, like Kermit doing his on the scene reporting and stuff like that, and
yeah,
that just felt like exactly how it is when I'm watching it.
Music, like there's a song.
They break in the song in the comic.
I think my favorite comment I've heard about it so far is what Sean said when we were a fluke talking about it, and I asked her if she did the voices in her head when she was reading it, and she didn't even like stop to think about it. She's like, I totally do.
No. The best comment was I emailed Sean to ask her to add that to my pull list, and she said she said, I'll add it for you happily. That book makes me so happy. It makes my heart smile.
She told me that last night. That's what I was about to bring up.
That needs to be on the back cover of the first trade.
These comments from creators. It makes my heart smile. Sean Ritter's manager.
It makes me so happy. It makes my heart smile. Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Nobody will ever say that about anything I do.
It makes my heart smile.
A couple other things, like I mentioned briefly, is we talked a little bit with Rochelle about kind of Booster Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the same thing I said heard applies is that really like the way that book started. It went from being something, man, I'm really interested in this, be one of the things that you're really interested in out of your stack.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like, why am I still buying this? And I don't think it's horrible. It's just not the same quality. It's not as good a book anymore. And that one's getting dropped by me as well.
So basically, that is reviews from everybody we know.
A plethora of people this week.
Plethora of people with a plethora of wide-ranging reviews. We mentioned earlier that on our forum, like we have that post for what did you pick up this week? that is probably a great place to get a good idea of what is being read out there and how people are reacting to it without having to listen to a whole hour of us reviewing stuff. Yeah. And all you have to do is go to, you know, thedollarbin.net, and we have a forum link right there.
Yes, right up there on the headers.
Just down there, it's under comics, and it's the very top thread, always.
Yeah, it'll be stickied on the forum, so mm-hmm. So that's never something you have to search for. I mean, every week.
Yeah, we have like 6 pages or so of just people just doing review, just short, like I said, 2-sentence reviews about
Adam and I post what we get every week. Yep. Ted, who was on the show for a large portion of the day, usually posts what he gets that week. And we have other guys like, I think Terry, like you said, Terry started it. He posts what he gets. Brad from Gloomy Roomies posts what he gets.
Captain Genius,
and talk about what they get each week. So it's a good feedback for, because every, I mean, nobody goes, nobody's writing any essays. This isn't something that's going to take you a lot of time.
Yeah,
but everybody puts a little bit about what they get. Like, if you ever wonder about the stuff that makes the show that we talk about and the stuff that doesn't, you know, you can pretty much see everything that Adam and I are reading.
Since we're
usually the ones that are always on the show, you can pretty much see what we're reading every week and getting every week right on there.
Yeah. And I think we all have a very very diverse group of readers as far as what we read. So you get good ideas there depending on what your preferences are. Even if you're not going to stop by and post yourself, which
you hate us.
Would be awesome.
And you're a communist.
I really enjoy the people that do post, but you know, we're accepting. Do we not seem accepting? Are people afraid of us? Is that what it is? I don't know. Yes, thanks for listening to our reviews, and again, I thrive on interaction. Just saying. That's why I do this. We don't make money. We're not making money doing this.
Sadly,
we do this because the more people that listen to us, the stronger we get.
Like with fables?
Yes.
If people stop believing, we become weaker?
Yes.
Which one am I?
I don't know. I'm going, though.
And if which one of us is Snow White's redheaded sister? Because that's the one I'm interested in.
Oh, man. Do you know how to write down a phone number and or memorize it? Do you know how to dial that number? Then you can call the Dollar Bin hotline at 864-335-9148. You too can be a Dollar Bin roving reporter. Is there going to be a great comic creator at your local comic shop? If you call 864-335-9148 and get them to talk to the Dollar Bin voicemail and leave a message, you can be a Dollar Bin roving reporter. That would be awesome too!